Good morning. I'm a minute late, am I? Am I a minute late? That's all right. How are you doing? It's Monday, October 14th, 2019. It's lovely out there at the moment in Salford. It's really nice. I don't know how long it's going to last because allegedly some very bad weather is coming. And we've had about 2 weeks of rain with only the occasional day without it. Saturday was one of those days, which was brilliant for the old Grand Final Rugby League. But we're expecting a deluge more rain real soon. So yeah, all is good here. I've got some interesting stuff to bring to you in the next 40 minutes or thereabouts. Some really good stuff in the newspapers today. We'll have a look at the front pages in just a second. Good morning to everybody who's sending messages on the live chat. Really appreciate that. I'll read a few of them out as we go along. I won't discriminate. I'll just read the ones that I come across first. So yeah, good day on, well, a great day on Saturday, apart from the result, of course. And again, congrats to St. Helens fans. One or two have been in touch with me on Twitter. No gloating. But then again, as I've said, I'm a very recent convert to the sport. It's only in the last couple of years that I started going with my mate Tez. I like to put faces with names, by the way. This is me and Tez on Saturday. I know, I couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. I know. There we are. Just about to go in. I'm still wearing this, by the way. By the time I take this off, it'll be so dirty, I won't be able to take it off. And they'll have to send a fire engine out with the jaws of life to get this off me. Salford till I die. Yes, me and Tez there. Outside Old Trafford on Saturday. There he is, the boy. The oft-mentioned. And here's my little gang of pals. You see Rich there in the background. Rich, very serious man, Rich. Man of few words, very serious guy. And Dean there to my right or to my left as you look at it there. So yeah, great fun. I mentioned Media City, didn't I, on Sunday View yesterday. Wow. Look, I've been through Media City many times, but I've not stopped and looked at the buildings. I'm telling you, it is, for those of you who really have researched, even, occult symbolism, well, fill your boots with Media City in Salford. I'm telling you, it's incredible, really. So there you are. Great weekend. And yesterday was a day of recovery after Sunday View. I did Sunday View. I was delighted I got up. I was hungover, but I got up and I did it. Right, we'll look at the front pages of the papers then. And there are some interesting things in there. Very interesting today. It's the state opening of Parliament, hence me reusing that old gag now of the Queen giving you the middle fingers. I love that. I'll never get tired of it. State opening of Parliament, Queen's speech. She basically tells, well, the plebs, the unwashed, what the government plans to do. But it's all up in the air, really, because of what's going to happen in the next few days. But again, we'll maybe save that for the radio show later on, this whole Brexit nonsense. But it does feature prominently, you won't be surprised, on the front pages of today's newspapers. Johnson's hopes for swift Brexit deal denied as proposals baffle European Union. So everybody is running with this morning, that there's been a bit of a glitch, that Michel Barnier, the European Union's chief negotiator, and his bosses, they're saying that, well, we're not really sure about these proposals now. We don't understand them. There's no credible alternative to this backstop. We're not convinced. And you even have the chief Brexit negotiator, again, whom I mentioned for the European Union, Michel Barnier. He's now saying, look, an extension, you know. So yeah, we'll deal with that as we go along. It's also a Facebook story there which might be of interest to you about digital coin. Maybe you want to check that out. That's the Financial Times, obviously. By the way, today at 5:30 UK time till about 7 o'clock UK time, I'll be taking Skype and phone calls from you. That's why that graphic is up there. It gives you a chance to take down the number. Now, we have a lot of listeners, so every time we do these, I do prioritise people who have never called in before. So if you want to call in the programme tonight to talk about something, I'll be glad to have you. Of course, enjoy the chats more than anything, really. So those are the numbers. The Skype is Chat With Richie, all one word. Don't bother trying to call it now because it won't be on till about 5:30. And the phone number is, there you are, the UK version of it and the international version of it, okay? If you want to call the programme. We'll have a quick news rundown at 5 today, and at 5:30 I'll open the line, the phone line and the Skype, and we'll get a few calls in, and we'll have an interesting chat, I think. It's never been dull, has it, the phone in. So that said, the Financial Times we saw now, here's the Times. That's old Big Ears himself with some cardinal in Rome because they canonised John Henry. Yeah, not John Henry now, who was a little baby. Not John Henry from Pete Seeger, but they canonised some bloke called John Henry. So we have a new saint to pray to when we go to bed. Be Jesus and all the saints. We have another saint, and Charles was there. Lovely. Ban air miles and stop frequent flyers, urge climate advisors. That's in the Times as well. Okay? If you don't fly too often under the climate fascists, you'll be okay. But if you fly regularly and you might have to for work, well, you're going to pay a lot of money if they get their way. This is all Extinction Rebellion related, of course, as you know. Indeed. That's the Times. So what's in the Telegraph? Let me just move this over here a bit there, yeah. The Telegraph. Fury as EU demands more Brexit concessions. There's a picture of old Big Ears with the Pope. Which Pope is it now? Francis? Yeah, it's Pope Francis, yeah. Again, paying his respects to the canonisation of John Henry something or other. John Henry. Yeah. Fury as EU demands more Brexit concessions. I'll briefly tell you what that's about. I've made a couple of bullet points there for you, because I've read all these newspapers this morning. All of the papers are saying that the European Union has thrown a spanner in the works in the last 24 hours. You know, in terms of, what do you mean, Richie? Well, Boris Johnson has presented proposals to them about how to get through this impasse and finally get Brexit done. And he has proposed an alternative to the Northern Ireland backstop, which the European Union proposed, which would keep Northern Ireland and the UK in a customs union so that there wouldn't be a hard border in Ireland, right? And, you know, there was all sorts of problems with that, understandably, keeping Northern Ireland being treated differently than the rest of the UK. The Scots didn't like it. Labour didn't like it. Theresa May couldn't get it through. Johnson has proposed alternative systems to that, but the European Union are saying, now, well, it doesn't make any sense to us. It hasn't been properly worked out, they're saying. It doesn't look like it's going to happen, they're saying. And as I said, Michel Barnier is now saying, look, at the end of the day, with 17 days to go, maybe the best thing to do is to have another extension. If they don't agree with Boris Johnson, the Benn Act, passed a couple of weeks ago, given royal assent, compels Johnson to write to the European Union to request that very extension. We'll see. What do I always say? We're going nowhere. Doesn't matter, extension or not. So that's the Telegraph front page. The iPaper, we'll go quickly through these. The iPaper, Johnson's allies attack deal as the European Union prepares for a delay. Also some noises around, they might propose a longer delay. Not a 3 month delay, which would take us to the end of next January, but a 6 month delay, which would take us to the end of next April. You can check out any time you like, blah, 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 blah. We know. Metro. Mog, I might eat my words. We heard Jacob Rees-Mogg yesterday. Very gently probed by Sophie Ridge on Sky. Left him off, really. Left him away with it. Mog is now prepared to countenance, I love that word, to countenance that which he had deemed to be completely unacceptable when Theresa May was Prime Minister. And that is making these concessions to the European Union, which would move Northern Ireland even closer to Europe and to European Union jurisdiction. Things he said he wouldn't possibly put up with or couldn't put up with. And there will be murders in the Conservative Party, because don't forget, despite the fact all of these people are puppets, despite the fact that politics doesn't mean anything, it's all an illusion. It's a serial drama running all the time on your TV screens to make you think that you are in control of your own destiny. Politics is an illusion, it's a nonsense. Despite that, many of these players are unaware of it. So a lot of people in Parliament, as far as they're concerned, they're in Parliament and they're in charge and it all feels pretty real to them. So within the Conservative Party, there will be absolute blood on the carpets now, because you'll have MPs who accepted Rees-Mogg's refusal, not only him, but some of the other European Research Group Tories. They accepted his principled position against Theresa May. Now that he's flipping on that, there'll be a lot of men and women in the Conservative Party fairly sick. They'll be saying, you bastard. Right? Right. Also, Smirkgate. There's a row brewing. That's Priti Patel there, the treasonous Home Secretary. Treasonous? She took her holidays when she was International Development Secretary, went to Israel, didn't tell the government, didn't tell her boss, Theresa May, met with the Israeli government in secret, didn't tell anybody back here. It's the definition of treason, isn't it? That's Priti Patel. She was on the Andrew Marr show yesterday. And when he was listing a number of businesses who believe a no deal will be bad for the country, she smirked, which prompted Andrew Marr to ask her, what the hell are you laughing at? And feminists, and Conservative Party supporters are saying that Marr was out of line. He wasn't out of line. Yes, the BBC is unashamedly, unapologetically pro-European Union. For sure it is. But he's not out of line. If she's grinning, it's his job to ask him, what are you grinning at? Okay, he did his job for once, even though I don't agree with his politics. You've got to be honest, you see. Kay Burley is on Breakfast this morning on Sky. It was a barrel of laughs. We might talk about it a bit later on. Car crash doesn't quite cover it. The Daily Mail, crackdown on... Although I know the irony. I mean, it doesn't get more car crash than this live stream. I get you. I heard you. Daily Mail, crackdown on foreign criminals who sneak back to the UK. Look, despite my categorisation or characterisation of myself as an old socialist. Maybe when you do get a bit older, maybe you do tiptoe just a smidgen, not to the right, but a bit closer to the line. Listen, if you're in this country, you haven't been born here, you haven't grown up here, you've moved here, right? You've moved here and you're making a life here. If you're a serious criminal, you know, by serious we mean violence, we mean murder, we mean rape, armed robbery, child abuse being the worst, obviously. What I would say is then get rid of them. After they serve their sentence, put them on a boat back to wherever they came from. That's what I would do. It doesn't matter whether that's the Republic of Ireland, in my case. Doesn't matter whether it's outer Mongolia. No use for you. We have enough of our own criminals, thanks. We're not short, is what I would say. But that's what I would say. That'll rub people up the wrong way, maybe. Daily Express, Boris blitz on crooks. Tougher sentences again for foreign criminals. No early releases. This is all going to be announced in the Queen's speech today. The Queen's speech, eh? All that pomp and circumstance. PM seeks to thrust law and order onto agenda in Queen's speech, goes The Guardian. Yeah, there's the Japanese who knocked the Scots out of the World Cup yesterday. All that talk about the weather and the jocks wouldn't put up with it. We're not putting up with it. You're not going to cancel the game and give us a draw and knock us out of the World Cup. And then the game went on and they lost to Japan. But then again, so did Ireland. So did Ireland. So, to my jock friends, my sweaty sock pals, I apologise. I know I'm in no position to take the piss after the grand final on Saturday. So I'll shut my cake hole is what I'll do. Here's the Mirror. Harry's mum, meet me face to face. This is the, I don't want to say saga. I don't want to be disrespectful. This woman, her son was knocked down off his motorbike back in August. Harry Dunn, the 19-year-old boy, and Anne Sakoulis, the wife of a US diplomat, left the country despite telling the police she wouldn't. She's not going to come back here, it doesn't look like it, but the family is looking at legal action in a civil trial, maybe, in the United States. As far as I understand, Anne Sakoulis' attorney has agreed to meet with Harry Dunn's mum and dad, the attorney. She's not covering herself in any glory, is she, Anne Sokoulis? You know, I'm neither the bravest man that ever lived, nor am I anything remotely like a coward. Not the bravest ever, but I'm not a coward. If you do something like that, however accidental, you front it up. You have the compassion and you have the humanity to stand in front of that boy's parents and apologise and say that you'll do whatever you can, even though you can't make it better, but you'll do anything that they would like you to do. You didn't mean to kill the lad. Everybody knows that. You're not covering yourself in glory now by hiding away from the parents. You look a bit scummy, to be honest. Wag hobbies go to war. I don't like Rue anymore. This is some laugh. This Colleen Rooney is the wife of the football player Wayne Rooney, and she used to be friendly with Rebecca Vardy, the wife of another professional footballer, Jamie Vardy. And Colleen reckons that she stitched up, or she was stitched up by Rebecca Vardy, who was part of a closed Instagram group, Jesus, Richie. And Colleen fed fake stories about herself into the closed Instagram group, but not before she banned everybody else except for Rebecca Vardy. And then all of these stories started showing up in the tabloids. Snared! Snared! So she caught her, did she? Well, Rebecca Vardy says no, and she's flown in from Dubai to confront Colleen Rooney. They love all this. The tabloids love it. A lot of people love it too. Makes me laugh. There you go. And Mr. Motivator. Derek himself. Do you remember Mr. Motivator? Do you remember? All that old shit. Do you remember on Breakfast Television? All that old shit. He took over from Mad Lizzie, didn't he? And the Green Goddess. Do you remember the Green Goddess? Who remembers the Green Goddess? Christ, she was lovely. That was a little fad on British Breakfast Television many years ago. There you'd be watching Desmond Morris and David Icke. David Icke and Frank Boff. Do you remember? And Selena. Icke was doing the sports, sitting there with his jumper on him and his curly hair. With his angelic face, David Icke. Do you remember back in the day? And they'd do their breakfast show. Next thing on would come the Green Goddess. And presumably people all over the country were standing in their living rooms going, yeah. Well, Mr. Motivator wants his ashes to be fed to the guests at his wake in sandwiches. What kind of fuckery is this? Oh, he does, he does. He does. Hang on. He's not very good at motivating people to go to his funeral, is he? Mr. Motivator. I've got the story. Hang on. Here he is in the Star. Get in there. Mix my ashes with fish paste and feed to the guests. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll pass there, Derek. Yeah. I'll send you a mass card. I fucking need it. Derek Evans. That's it. People just want free food. So I want my ashes mixed up with fish paste and made into sandwiches and given out to people. It's all planned. It's all planned, he says. There you are. Mr. Motivator. Good stuff. Mr. Motivator, huh? Mad Lizzie. You had Lizzie on TVAM, didn't you? With Nick. What was his name? Holy Jesus. He used to present Midweek Sports Special. Nick and Diamond. What's his surname? Can't remember. Shit. All right, okay, let's move on. Let's say a few hellos, a few quick hellos. Hi to Jessica Rabbit. How you doing, Jessica? Richie, what about the Gilets Jaunes? Jessica, I just don't know enough about them. I know what they've been doing, and I know that they've not gotten the coverage they probably have merited. But I don't know that much about them. Garrodo Colmón is a lovely fella and a very good journalist. Has been on the programme in the past talking about them. But I don't know who or what is behind the Gilets Jaunes. These are the Yellow Vest protesters in France. So I don't know. And I have tried to get some commentary from Gilets Jaunes members. I have tried to do that, obviously, but not with much success. So, of course, it's very interesting. Thanks for that. Hi to John Roard. How you doing, John? John must be like me. He must be an insomniac. Up all hours of the morning. How you doing, John? Who's begun following Boris on Twitter. Very convincing pro-Brexit video clips on his page. even with all of the media opposition. I'm hoping that he pushes it through on the 34th. Thanks, John. I'm not holding out any hope, John. Ken Montgomery, Acker Farmer. I was going to read a few now. Dan Dez, Holistic, Rose Williams. Good evening, Rose. Anne Gladman, Angela Guidolin, Ethic Boxing, Pierre, Joe Public, how you doing? Dermot McCauley, how you doing, Dermot? Good morning. Good morning, Gail. Marvellous. I had a shave on Saturday morning. Yeah. Got a bit of shadow there now. I'll leave it grow back again. Hi to David Davies. Good morning, Jeanan. Good morning, Graham Booth, who's denounced me for wearing red in Manchester. I'm in Salford, Graham. Salford is a city of its own, you know. We have a cathedral. This is a city, my friend. Proud of it as well, we are. Cromwell Bear, to Chris, to Sean, to Shady, to John Kerr. Good morning, John. John Flynn. Cardinal Henry Newman, dear, says Jeanan. Thanks, Jeanan. On one of the photographic captions, they said John. Was it John Henry Newman? It was. That's why I sang the John Henry song from Pete Seeger. Although Pete Seeger didn't write John Henry. John Henry's been in mountain folklore since God knows when, right? Hi to Paddy Dunn. Paddy, I enjoyed the game, mate. St. Helens were at another level. They're an amazing team. Salford did well after a slow start. They were never really, really out of the game. But they were beaten by an excellent side. I never enjoyed an occasion as much. It was fantastic. Hi to Jason Gage. How you doing, Jason? Talking about the Lisbon Treaty. I've talked a lot about the Lisbon Treaty and its contents, Jason, on previous programmes. I might get into it again in the future and where it's all meant to lead. So to everybody else, by the way, Charlotte Binns, good morning. Erstats to Nick. Scrolling on down quickly there. If I don't mention you, I'm not ignoring you. It's just I've got to get on with it. Hi to Christian Jake. How you doing, Christian? You don't have to say hello 20 times, Christian. How you doing, by the way? And I'm going to move on. Right, okay. Nick Owen, wasn't it? Did somebody say Nick Owen? Nick Owen it was, not Nick Ross. Nick Owen and Anne Diamond. And Mad Lizzie. And the calisthenics. Loved it. So this Egypt, then he wants his ashes put in sandwiches. What a fucking Egypt. Anyway. Let's move on. They're all going with this. Barnier, this is the BBC. No progress. No nothing. Right? Not going to happen. What's been proposed is that there is a big European Union summit on Thursday and Friday. Thursday being the 17th, right? And Friday being the 18th, right? Johnson is supposed to have gotten some kind of deal by then with the European Union. They're supposed to have said, right, we agree on this. Johnson is then supposed to bring it to Westminster at a special sitting next Saturday, this coming Saturday, where MPs will either accept it or reject it. That's even if he gets an agreement with the European Union, which he probably won't. Either way, they're going to reject it anyway. Parliament will reject it, and he'll be compelled to write to Brussels requesting an extension. He says, we're leaving one way or the other. He's lying. He's lying. Because he's a lawyer. These Extinction Rebellion dickheads. Now, today, they're going to be protesting at the Bank of England. 1,300 arrests in the last week. They began this nonsense last Monday. These are the evangelical screamers who believe we're all going to be dead in 12 years' time unless we just stop producing carbon. At least net carbon production anyway. Let's bring it down to net so that whatever carbon we produce, we offset using green initiatives. That's what net carbon emissions means. It means you produce some carbon, but a lot less than you used to, and you offset that by green initiatives. Trees and electric wind, all that bullshit. Right, right. Trees are not bullshit, children. We love trees. Yeah. Kay Burley did ask Sadiq Khan, the mayor of Londonistan. I hear you're a racist now, Richie. Londonistan. Yeah. Yeah, Burley did put it to him about policing and shortages in basically everywhere else in London while these idiots are being managed. He didn't have much of an answer. Other than he agreed with her. Yeah, it's difficult because we're focusing on this. Water cannons, I say. What's interesting about this is, I wonder, and I know this is labouring the point, this makes me laugh, you know, they're going to stage a protest at the Bank of England. Not because the Bank of England issues currency, issues money. Loans money to the government out of thin air at interest, condemning the country and every citizen in it to be spiralling ever deeper into debt forever. That's not what they're protesting. No, no. You know, they're not protesting in London because old people are losing every little bit of money they have and their houses to pay for their own care, even though they paid into the system for 50 years. No, no. They're not protesting because thousands of people are being murdered in Yemen using British weaponry. No, they're not. No, no. They're protesting because they believe we're all going to die in the next 12 years. The newspapers used to laugh at people like that. Doomsday cults. You'd often see stories in the tabloids about some bloke and his wife, dungaree wearing fucking Egypts, who would build a big bunker somewhere in America, right? Fucking dungarees, right? Convinced that we were all going to die and they'd dig a big tunnel. Now they celebrate them. Doomsday cults used to be just, and finally, Mary and John Hickman in Utah are going underground because the baby Jesus told them that the world is going to end next year. Used to laugh at that. No, with these guys, no. Give them what they want. Let them fucking bring London to a standstill based on a pack of lies. Imagine we came out in that in those numbers and took over London for Palestine, for the rights of people in this country, for workers' rights. Imagine we came out in those numbers because we said we've had enough. We want the 2016 referendum result to be honoured. Imagine they'd bring out the fucking reserve army. Wouldn't they? Of course they would. It would get very violent very quickly. They would send in, I can't do the accent, agents provocateurs. They would send in agents provocateurs, wouldn't they? Pretending to be protesters to start fights. Of course they would. But these idiots are protesting about a madness. But it's part of an agenda, so they are allowed to do what they want. And that's what really drives me batshit crazy, really. Anyway, a lot of anti-vax stuff in the papers today. And some of my longer time radio listeners will know about a guy called David Robert Grimes. A real arsehole, this guy. He's an Irish guy. Apparently he's a physicist. Spends his time in Oxford and at Dublin City University. Not a doctor now, at all. Nor is he a biologist. Just an arsehole. World-class arsehole. Should wear the suit with the cape and a big A. Big arsehole. This is a guy who compared the mothers of Gardasil-injured girls in Ireland to child abusers. Yeah. And I'm beginning to wonder who this David Robert Grimes really is. Why? Because David Robert Grimes seems to be the go-to guy to debunk everything these days. Including 5G. There he is. Go to the very end of the article on the right-hand side. David Robert Grimes. David Robert Grimes. Who doesn't know a vaccine from a fucking lollipop, but tells parents in Ireland that they're lying when they say their daughters are suffering from the most debilitating illnesses having received Gardasil. Not qualified to tell those parents that. Not by a long chalk. Now he's telling people 5G is okay. Who the fuck is David Robert Grimes? I wonder. David Robert Grimes. You know I don't like violence. Don't have any time for it. Love to get David Robert Grimes in the room though. Just for a couple of minutes. Yeah. Call them women child abusers because they're looking after their daughters. Or comparing them to child abusers. Saying that advocating for their daughter's rights was tantamount to child abuse. Did David Robert Grimes, yeah. Violence is wrong, children. We must never even fantasise about violence. Oh, I wouldn't hit the fucker. I'd put him straight, though. Very quickly. David Robert Grimes, eh? Who is this arsehole? 5G, vaccines, he's the go-to guy now, is he? Oh, nothing wrong with 5G, says David Robert Grimes. The fuck does he know about it? Nothing. But anyway, the government is going to tell local authorities, in the wake of what happened in Totnes, when John Kitson and his fellow campaigners managed to get Totnes Council in Devon to put a moratorium on the implementation of 5G. Again, congratulations to all involved. But the government is now going to tell councils, no more of this now, 5G is good. It's good. It's not fucking good. It's not good. It's death is what it is. Fucking slow death for many of us. Ah, David Robert fucking Grimes, huh? Lovely. Let me just fantasize for a minute there. Then we're back in the room. More road rage, according to the Times, because we're all pissed off with our lives and because it's more difficult to get around in our cars. I've got a lot of fucking faults, me. I've got many. If I call the future Mrs. Allen upstairs, she's working from home today, which she does once in a while. Well, she could spend the next 45 minutes telling you about how much of an arsehole I can be. No doubt. But the one thing I've never had, road rage. Never. I could never understand it, getting annoyed behind the wheel of a car. But I can understand increasingly why people are losing their minds behind the wheel. Because it's not just the carelessness of other drivers and congestion. Life is getting people down. Of course it is. It's meant to get people down. It's the whole point. It's not coincidence or a coincidence or coincidental. It's meant to drive you fucking mad, this crazy world we live in. Thank God you and I can have a chat about it here. It's like therapy, isn't it, me and you? Sometimes. Because we know we're not on our own. It's not just me that feels it's crazy. Speaking of the dickhead that is David Robert Grimes, the Daily Mail last week, as we talked about on the radio show, has taken upon itself the responsibility to convince everybody that vaccines are okay. The Mail. Annoys me this. But I've been complimentary to the Mail in their campaigns for the rights of senior citizens, to their credit. This annoys me. But anyway, look, you can't have your cake and eat it. So now they're pushing hard against what they call anti-vaxxers. They've interviewed a guy called Dr. Michael Fitzpatrick today, in the Mail today. There's Michael. Michael has autism. He started showing signs of it at 18 months. It's a bit of a hit piece on Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Can't call him doctor anymore, I suppose. Bit of a hit piece on him. And he links to the MMR jab and autism. So there you are. So the Mail doubling down. There's going to be a lot of these stories now. And remember, the UK Health Secretary Matt Hancock is currently taking legal advice on whether he can introduce legislation, which will obviously have to be debated in the House and then voted on, to make it mandatory for school attending children to be vaccinated against measles. Talked about this yesterday, it's in the Times as well. Mumsnet users are boycotting Flora margarine. And this is because Mumsnet has 10 million users. It's an amazing thing, really. A lot of people use it, not exclusively mums. It's a forum to discuss everything, really. Mothering, but lots of things as well. And people have spoken on Mumsnet about the rights of women to be safe in female-only places. Trans lobbyists are those who would lobby that trans self-identifying people should be allowed to get changed in whatever changing room that corresponds with the gender that they believe they are. Well, they're not happy, so they contacted Flora and said, you shouldn't advertise on Mumsnet. They're a bunch of transphobics. And like a bunch of idiots, Flora Margarine said, all right, we'll take the ad down then. Fucking idiots. Lovely. Loads of this stuff. Paloma Faith. I'm raising my child gender neutral. This is the older rage. Raise your child gender neutral to give your child a better chance in life to discover who it, they, them, whatever the fuck, is or are. What are you? You can be anything you want. Here you are. There's Paloma. And her fella, I'm trying to think, do I know that chap? Is he an actor? Is he a singer? I don't know who he is. To be honest with you, I wouldn't have recognised Paloma Faith if it wasn't for the... I'll tell you how far removed from modern trends I am. You gotta love all this stuff. This woke stuff. You love the woke stuff, don't you? New Cinderella movie next year. Big budget. And the fairy godmother will be played by a black trans man. Why not? Fucking why not, you know? Yeah. There's the actor in the trans garb. Look at that. Is there any more phrase? Is there any phrase more guaranteed to ruin a sweet childhood memory than a modern reimagining of it? Writes the author on RT. Especially when modern means sanitised and injected with pointless social justice twaddle. Yes. Stuff of nightmares. Trans fairy godmother. Stuff of nightmares. Lovely. Billy Porter is the actor. He's a gay man, Billy. I don't think he's a trans person. He's a gay man, is Billy, and he's going to be in drag to play the fairy godmother. Lovely. If that's your thing, that's your bag, it's all happening. What else have we got? Good article in the Sunday Telegraph. Yesterday. It's in the paper. I think it's in the paper today. It was on the website yesterday. It's in the paper today. Zoe Strimple, is it? Mandatory consent classes will only turn young men off from being good feminists. Men can't be feminists. Stop with this shit now. I used to have female pals over the years, various places I worked, describe themselves as feminists. Fair enough. Are you a feminist, Richie? No, I fucking am not. I'm a bloke. Doesn't mean that I don't have any empathy when genuine evidence of discrimination exists. I have empathy, of course. But I'm not a feminist. I'm a big, ignorant, baldy, bollocks gammon is what I am. That's the pigeonhole I'm in. This is to do with the UK Ivy League unis. When new male students are registering, they're going to consent classes. And they are mandatory. Where they must sit and be lectured about how they should go about their interaction with their female students. And she's not happy, Zoe Strimple. And she explains pretty well in the article why she's not happy. You can see some of it there. The applicants take a consent test before they're even allowed to enrol. Freshers, whether 18 or 44 and starting a PhD, are required to take group workshops, and sexual consent classes are now mandatory at Oxford. It would be funny, she says, if it weren't or wasn't so, well, real. She says she has a zero tolerance policy towards obnoxious men herself, and no man should be left off the hook when they behave thuggishly towards women on campus. But she says she can't find anything sillier or more insulting to men's intelligence and women's sharpness of wits than this new breed of workshop. If men at 18 don't know the difference between decent and vile behaviour, then a couple of classes during Freshers' Week is hardly likely to cut the mustard. It's very interesting, this, because I don't know what the content of these consent classes is or are. I don't know what the content is. I haven't read the guidelines. But I remember many years ago, when I was doing a bit of work myself for City and Guilds. City and Guilds used to work with FOSS, Forest Ocean of Seher in Ireland, which is a training centre in Ireland. And I did a little bit of work with them. And I do remember the attendees, the students basically, and these were adults, were given a little one-off 40-minute lesson or lecture about sexual harassment. This was years and years ago now. 25 years ago. No, 20 years ago. Yeah, it would have been 20 years ago. And the upshot of it was, there was no mobile phones with cameras then or with screens that you could watch films on. So the upshot of the guidance then was, you shouldn't be reading or looking at adult material in the presence of women because it might make them uncomfortable. Now, that's common knowledge anyway. You know, you wouldn't be in a room with your fellow workers in a company, women, and be reading, I don't know, not reading the Playboy, but having the centerfold open. You wouldn't do that, would you? Why would you want to do that? You wouldn't have a top shelf magazine open to a picture of a nude woman in the presence of your female colleagues. It would be, well, to be a bit seedy and a bit dirty. Of course. And at the time they also said, you shouldn't be propositioning your female colleagues. In other words, asking a girl that you work with out for a date is a no-no. This is 20 years ago. But it seems like it's, well, the advice that we were observing, others being given, is now unbelievably outdated. Because it seems that now they are telling men in these universities, if a woman feels that she has been harassed, it means she probably has. Even if you can't for the life of you figure out what you did wrong. It's very problematic. It's interfering with the natural dynamic between men and women, I believe. That's not to say that I disagree that sexual harassment is a real thing. Of course it's a real thing. We've seen it in companies over the years, women being asked out by their bosses and saying no, thank you. And then having to deal with bullying, passive-aggressive treatment by the boss. And sometimes demotion. It's gone on. It's fucking gone on. It had to be dealt with. We know this. But what they're doing now is not just, nor I don't think is it going to lead to any justice, right? My opinion. My opinion. Speaking of all of this, Patricia Arquette has been talking about Me Too, which we're 2 years on from the Harvey Weinstein revelations. The Miramax guy, there he is there. And she's saying, along with Zelda Perkins, that Weinstein and the few names we got were only the tip of the iceberg. That in the next couple of years, all manner of high-profile men are going to be outed as having committed sexual harassment or worse against women in Hollywood. Now, I don't condone any of that, but I think Hollywood's got a bigger problem than women being harassed and asked for sexual favours for advancement. Shocking and shitty and rotten for sure. But paedophilia is where it all goes in Hollywood, right? I think we both know that, you and me. That's not to diminish the experiences of actors and actresses, I should say actresses and actors, in Hollywood, no doubt. But I think when she says tip of the iceberg, Rosanna Arquette, I've always liked Rosanna Arquette in films from True Romance and Christian Slater, that great film she was in, and Harvey Keitel, was it in that? Or was it Dennis Hopper, wasn't it? We always confuse Keitel and Dennis Hopper, don't we? Why do we do that? Yeah, so she says it's all going to come out now. Loads of guys are going to be named. We'll see. But the abuse of children is a taboo subject for the press when it comes to Hollywood. They don't want to talk about it. What have I got for you before we finish up? We've got an and finally, have we? Let me just read one or two quick messages. Lovely. To Dick, to Matthias, to Charlie Girl, to Cause 1973, to Bob. Good morning, Bob. Nice to see you on there. To 2-6, to Sooty's Rehab, to Paul. I'm going back there. Lots of nice comments there, but I don't have time to read them out loud. Martin Ellen, good morning, Martin. Threta Glumberg. Graham says, why would a man be a feminist? Good question, Graham. Trigger warning on YouTube, my friend. Trigger warning. Triggerwarning.tv, the website. Get on there, check them out. Two curmudgeonly bollockses, but they're very funny, the lads, at times. And Graham is a dad, and he's a recent dad. Must be a great time in the Booth household. Must be lovely. Raising a child, I'm not saying that sarcastically, of course. I'm sure they have their late nights, as you do with babies. but I'm sure it's a wonderful time. Raising a child without a sense of their gender is abuse, says Graham. You're stealing away a huge part of their development. Not being a dad, I'm still going to agree with that. Hi to Shovelhead. Shovelhead, get in there. Hi to Chris. Right, and if I didn't mention you, don't hold it against me, right? Hi to Starry Night. And Jeanne said, also in yesterday's Sunday Times magazine, there was an interview with Hillary and her daughter. And in that interview, Andy Wakefield was called evil. That's right, Jeanne. But also in that interview, Chelsea Clinton, is it? Is it? Didn't she say a person with a beard and a todger and a tallywhacker can be a woman? And Hillary said, I'm not quite convinced of that, or something like that. Oh, evil Hillary. We might have common ground with evil Hillary, I can't believe it. But Chelsea said, yeah, if you've got a beard and you've got a penis, of course you can be a woman. Of course! Of course! What do you mean? Why can't you be? Jesus. Yeah, let's finish with this. Love this. Because when all else fails, when the tabloids, when the broadsheets are full of Brexit and you're tired of it, you've got stories in the tabloids like Mr. Motivator, who wants us to go to his funeral and eat his ashes mixed in with fish paste. He did too many fucking star jumps. Too many star jumps, Derek. Not motivating people to go to his, right, to his funeral, as I've already said. You get some good stuff in the tabloids. And I'm going to buy this book. Because I get my thrills, my sexual thrills, the old-fashioned way. Don't be going on to Pornhub or XXX.com and watching disgusting videos of women getting smashed around a room by four or five guys. Disgusting. Don't watch that. Get an old book like The Happy Hooker by Xaviera Hollander, who was mentioned on this programme before. Old-fashioned sex. Nice sex. Or get a book by a flight attendant. Yeah, a flight attendant has written her memoirs, and a number of papers have mentioned it, because it looks like this is a really funny woman, and she's written some funny stories in her book about being a flight attendant, which I'm sure has its moments, dealing with drunk arseholes and the likes. But we are finding new and disturbing ways of joining the Mile High Club, apparently. Now, for the very innocent among you, I'm sure I don't have to say this, but I'll say it anyway. The Mile High Club is when a couple decides to, I mean, it's a difficult, get into the loo on a plane and have sex in the airplane cubicle and then go back to your seat. Thrilled that you did it. It's not easy. I've tried it. It's not easy. It's not easy. Especially when you're 6 foot 6 inches tall. It's not easy. It becomes a fucking nightmare, to be honest. In one of those airplane toilets. Struggling. Put your leg over there. Move your arm. Move. Put your head down. Stand up. You're like this. Fucking hell. So I didn't succeed in joining the Mile High Club. But apparently, this flight attendant, in her new book, Cruising Altitude, she says that an increasing number of dirty bastards are not even trying to make it to the loo. They're putting the old complimentary, or not complimentary, but the old blanket that they give you over their laps. And, well, you get the picture. Yeah, you get the picture. That being said now, I've only ever... I have flown on jumbos, but I was on my own. The only time the future Mrs. Allen and myself were on a plane, it was on budget airlines, Ryanair and EasyJet. And if you think the jumbo jet toilets are small, the EasyJet Ryanair toilets are absolutely minuscule. So you go in there with your better half or your significant other. And when you're as big as I am, forget about it. No chance. Everything is in the way. So I thought that was interesting. I'm going to buy that. Yeah, I'll get my thrills reading that, maybe. Cruising Altitude. I like that. Flight attendants. All sorts of stuff goes on. On planes. All sorts of stuff. That's about it then for the old live stream. Uh, 5 o'clock, I'll be back with you. I'll have a news rundown, some interesting things to tell you, and there, up there, is the details for the phone-in. So between 5.30 and 7, I'll be taking calls, either through Skype, it's Chat with Richie, all one word, or the phone number 01618182018. 01618182018. Sex chat. 01618182018. And there's the prefixes if you're in America or in Europe. Better to Skype because it's free. Okay, free. We like a bit of free. And I'll be taking calls from first time callers. I'll be prioritizing first time callers. Because there are people who like to get on all the time, but then that makes it sound like we've got 100 listeners and we're broadcasting in a village. We're not. We've got hundreds of thousands of listeners, verifiably, and it's been picked up in over 130 countries around the world. So, not saying I won't take you on, but I'm going to give priority to people we've not heard from before. How about them? How about them apples? Alrighty. State opening of Parliament. The Queen will be taking to her throne at some stage this morning, but I won't be watching it. I'll be having a jog and running off the weekend's excesses. Thanks for watching this. I will speak to you at 5, usual channels. Thanks very much for watching this morning. Bye now.